This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and with the Chaos AI update is Arvind Yuvaraj.
Yeah, so at break, it is up by 2.04% at 1,555 points. Active stocks include AT Systematization, AirAsia X Berhad, and Kanger International Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.11 against the US dollar. It is at 2.99 against the Aussie dollar and 3.05 against the Sing dollar.
Very nice. Thank you very much for that. So the question we are asking you all the way throughout the show today is, how often have you experienced shipping delays when ordering online during this pandemic? We've got a poll up on Twitter. How's that going?
So it's 62.9% for not often, 11.2% for never, and 25.4% for very often.
Mm-hmm. Any responses?
We have one from, so this is a reply to our friend Eddie, who didn't get his postage from Bali.
Oh.
So Guru Tuition says, pasal aku dari Jepun tak dekat sebulan tunggu, dah dekat sebulan tunggu.
Oh, wow.
Alih-alih seller kata dia dapat return parcel, shipment tak lepas hantar ke sini. So another one from Japan, I guess.
Oh.
And we have one from Sri Angrik, who says, between March to April, most of my online purchases were delayed or never arrived. After May onwards, I got my orders pretty fast, including from overseas.
I mean, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It took a bit of time for everyone to kind of settle into the new normal, I suppose.
Yeah.
On Instagram here, we've got Candy Lim says very often. Wei Ni says not often. Wei Jian and E-7 both say never. And Morris Chang 23 says, super often, my courier from Korea is still stuck in midair since the 22nd of October and no news. Ouch. So hopefully that gets to you soon from Korea. But thank you very much for sending in your messages, as anyone can do, really, on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Speaking of WhatsApp, anything up on there?
Not yet. Kind of quiet.
Well, in that case, let's move on to our second story of the day. Now, in case you guys were not aware, it seems pretty likely that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. It was a very small story.
Oh, did that happen over the weekend?
Over the weekend, oh, yes.
Small change.
Yeah, you know, just a little blip in the news radar. But along with a very different approach to the presidency, he's bringing with him some interesting potential shifts for the tech giants in Silicon Valley as well. Now, odds are that the Republicans will maintain their majority in the Senate, even with a Democratic president, leaving the U.S. with a divided Congress. Now, for Silicon Valley, that is both good and bad news. Good, because a fully Democratic Congress would have seriously considered a slew of measures designed to rein in the technology industry,
mm-hmm.
ranging from antitrust to privacy to worker classification, prospects. But it's also bad because many big ideas in tech can't move forward without a regulatory framework, and the odds of the next Congress agreeing on anything significant are exceptionally low.
Mm.
That means, the tech world is sort of concerned about what's going to happen, what's going to be done, what's going to be stopped within the Biden administration. The removal of Donald Trump from the White House offers two key benefits to the entire tech industry. First of all, it eliminates a lot of the volatility and mm-hmm. uncertainty and chaos that kind of defined the entire nation throughout Trump's tenure. And also, it would probably reverse Trump's staunch stance against immigration, which is really good for, labor and such. But there are also a host of more subtle ways that Biden could potentially influence the tech industry in the years to come, apart from just reining in big tech.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing is telehealth. So while the White House downplayed the threat posed by COVID-19, in March, Trump's Department of Health and Human Services did propose a series of emergency waivers to make it easier for Medicare and Medicaid to reimburse for telehealth and for doctors in one state to treat patients in another. So for more people to receive care at lower prices to the taxpayer, Congress would need to make these changes permanent. The Biden administration may not have any objections to this, but odds are it's also not very high on their priority list. So advocating for telehealth's continued rise will be necessary, especially if the pandemic continues to get worse. The next area would be in autonomous tech regulation, because the technology for autonomous tech is kind of ready to go whenever.
Mm-hmm.
But no one in the federal government has defined how safe this tech must be to switch to full autonomy, which means that the industry is trying currently to move forward without any kind of defined regulatory framework. That makes deployment practically impossible, and convincing Biden's Department of Transportation to take up the issue and formulate clear rules will be essential. The next bit, which I think is actually kind of interesting, is the gig economy, because a big debate at the moment for the Department of Labor is how businesses determine whether a worker is an employee or an independent contractor under the Fair Labor Standards Act. The proposed standard by the Trump administration would make it easier for sharing economy workers to remain independent contractors, which is a major win for many big tech companies. But the Democrats in elected office, including Biden, have supported efforts by organized labor to reclassify sharing economy workers as full-time employees. So withdrawing the proposed rule is likely going to be like the first item on their Department of Labor agenda. So we'll see how that works and which side of the debate will get a big win. The last area is, of course, cryptocurrency. Over at the Securities and Exchange Commission, tech is going to need to lobby hard for new regulations that will promote multiple digital currencies rather than the current legal ambiguity that will likely lead to one dominant player, which arguably undermines the entire point of crypto. The more digital communities, the better. And while the SEC certainly could adopt this perspective, it won't happen by accident. Now, obviously, tech also isn't a monolith. What's good for one company may not be good for another. And expecting the entire sector to agree on a single agenda and then lobby effectively for it is kind of unrealistic. But assuming we're going to get a Biden White House and a split Congress, tech companies will need to win their case with key administration stakeholders if they want to see progress on any of their key issues. And given the number of priorities and issues competing for attention, it won't be easy. But the future of autonomous vehicles, drones, cryptocurrency, the sharing economy, and telehealth may all depend on it.
So this is interesting, right? Because it's always like it's a shift. And with every shift, I guess certain sectors that were not making progress before would have hope that they can change things and there are different people making the decisions. That's what it looks like. So all these things like crypto, crypto has been, I mean, depending on who you ask, it's either been vague or promising or quote-unquote a scam. It all depends on who you talk to. And looking at this, it looks like they wanna push it to be more mainstream or sort of legalize a lot of the sectors in a way.
It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, we're already trying to digitalize a lot of our financial institutions, right? You know, in especially with the contactless payment and stuff like that. So I feel like that's kind of the next logical step.
Yeah.
For me, the most interesting point in that whole thing, which is, by the way, an article we found on Fast Company, was the gig economy issue, because that's also a very similar debate to what's happening here locally as well. That whole confusion over, look, are gig economy workers like employees or are they independent workers, right? And sort of the rights and the kind of issues that they face in what subsidiaries, is that the word I'm looking for? Subsidies they're going to get from the government, tax cuts, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that argument can go on forever, I think. That's a whole other thing. Like, without the people you outsource to or your riders, the company doesn't function, but they are not technically your permanent employees in a lot of ways. So it will be pretty interesting to see if they become trendsetters.
Exactly, right? Like, depending on which side of the argument the coin falls on, you know, what kind of tack the rest of the world will take from that. So yeah, definitely a very interesting thought. But that was our second story. Our first story was all about shipping, logistics, manufacturing, the supply chain, all that jazz. Because the question we're asking you guys today is, how often have you experienced shipping delays when ordering online during this pandemic? We've got like about 230 votes on Twitter at the moment. We've got 20 minutes left on the poll there. We have a few more responses here on Instagram as well. So we've got, let's see here. Himi Kama Thor says, very often. Stephen HSL has a three-part answer to this. I've learned that specific couriers work better in specific areas, so I'll choose a specific one for the office and a specific one for my home address, since some shopping websites do allow you to choose the carrier, which is very strategic. Well done, Stephen. And Ruma74 says, never, which is also interesting.
Yeah.
So thanks for all of that. Do keep those responses coming in over the break as we head into a song. But let us know. Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. This is Jimmy Cliff with The Harder They Come on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.